Hi, Veronica.
Hi, Patrick. The reason why I'm calling is because yesterday was my sister's birthday, and I gave her the miraculous medal for her birthday.
Oh, good.
So my brother-in-law, who's a Protestant, started saying, oh, that's so stupid, and he was yelling at getting upset. And he just starts talking bad about Mary, and she's nobody, and this and that, and it just gets me so upset when I hear him, talk like this, and I just never know what to tell him.
Hmm.
Sometimes he uses, bad words against Mary.
That's too bad, because that's really disrespectful to the mother of Jesus. One thing you could tell him is listen
exactly
to the Patrick Madrid show and call in sometime, and he and I can have a discussion about this. Well,
And I have...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I have told him, oh, listen to Patrick Madrid. Why don't you call him and, get his response? Oh, I'm not going to call and, I'm not going to waste my time on that and so on.
Okay. Well, I mean, he's a free agent. He can do what he wants to do. Eventually, he'll have to answer for this, but I hope he gets his mind right in the meantime. What are some things you can say?
Yeah.
First of all, let's say this. The Bible says very clearly in Luke chapter 1, this is Mary speaking, she says, God has done great things for me. What exactly are those great things? What is it that God did for her? If you had to take a guess, Veronica, what do you think would be at the top of that list? If you had to guess, where Mary says, God has done great things for me, what do you think the greatest of those things is?
I don't know. The only thing I could think of right now is just love. I don't know what to say.
Okay, I'm not trying to, put you on the spot, but the great thing that she has in mind there is that he chose her to be the mother of God. To be his mother. So we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three persons in one God. One God in three persons. The second person of the Trinity, the Son, he takes flesh for our salvation. He steps from eternity into time. He becomes one of us. As it says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And God chose this particular woman for that. And the Holy Bible says, all generations will call her blessed. And God has done great things for her. So I would start there. I would say, this is your brother or brother-in-law? Who is this guy?
It's my brother-in-law.
Okay. So I'd say, hey, hold up. God has done this for Mary. The Holy Bible, and I'm assuming your brother-in-law reads the Bible or at least supposes that he follows the Bible. So say, how come you're not following the Bible on this one? The Bible is really clear that God did something really great for Mary. She praises him for it. She says, and behold, all generations shall call me blessed. Why would that biblical prophecy be there if it weren't true? And isn't he sort of going against this biblical prophecy by deriding Mary as she's nobody special? Of course she's somebody special. She's the mother of God, the mother of the Savior. And it doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any higher than that. Furthermore, Mary was the very first Christian. How do we know that? Because the message of the angel Gabriel brought to her the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. She was not only the first Christian, she was the first person to say yes to Jesus. Talk about accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Your brother-in-law can say that and say that he's accepted Jesus into his heart. Mary did that, and she accepted Jesus into her very body in the incarnation. So she's the first Christian. She gets up in haste, we're told. The very first thing she does after the angel Gabriel tells her the good news that she would be the mother of Jesus, most other people, most other women would say, oh, wow, I'm going to be the mother of God. Well, these clothes I've got, that certainly won't do. I'm going to have a much better wardrobe than this. And this little house that I live in, oh, come on, I can't have God living in this little shack. I'm going to have a much nicer house. I mean, most people would have turned to their own circumstances and said, well, what can I do for me in preparation for this august birth of God himself? But she doesn't do that. The very first thing she does is she gets up in haste, we're told, and she goes to tell somebody about Jesus. She brings Jesus literally to her kinswoman, Elizabeth. She's with Jesus at every step of his life. She's there in the incarnation. She's there, obviously, for 9 months with Jesus, the Word of God in flesh in her very womb. She's there at his nativity. She presents him with his foster father, Joseph, in the temple 40 days later. She raises Jesus in obscurity. She searches for Jesus when he seemed to have been lost when they went up to Jerusalem when he was about 12 years of age. Jesus lived under her authority, the Bible says. He went back and lived with his parents in Nazareth under their authority, and he grew in grace and wisdom until he was 30 years old. Mary was the only human being, aside from St. Joseph for however long he lived, to live with God under her roof for 30 years. Mary was there on the fringes, it seems, kind of never inserting herself into the midst of things during our Lord's public ministry. She was there as he was on his way to be crucified. She was one of the few people who had the guts to stand at the foot of the cross while Jesus was dying. So she was there when everybody else ran away from him. We see her again in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Actually, at the end of chapter 11, at the Ark of the Covenant, Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. We see a woman clothed with the sun with a crown of stars on her head standing on the moon, wailing aloud in pain as she labored to give birth to a male son. Who's the male son? Jesus. And the red dragon is so infuriated by this that he makes war against the woman and all of her offspring. We're told in verse 17, all of her children. Well, who are her children? Those who believe in Jesus and follow him. The Bible there says that Mary is the mother of all Christians. That's Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Now, I've just sketched a skeleton outline of the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the Holy Bible. But from beginning to end, including the sections that I mentioned in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, it's really clear that she wasn't just any old person. God chose her for this very important mission. And so it's a crying shame that your brother-in-law, in his ignorance, maybe he just fell in with the wrong crowd and they gave him a distorted understanding of Scripture. And so he hates something he doesn't really understand. And it's a shame, really. But you're in a position to do some good for him by showing him these things in the Bible. If you want a book that'll really school you up in all the details, get a book by Tim Staples called Behold Your Mother. And he goes into all of these different issues. So there's a lot you can say. I just gave you kind of a quickie overview. But I hope that you see that you don't have to just stand there and take it. I mean, you don't have to just be on the receiving end of his ugliness. There are things that you can say, speak the truth in love to him, and maybe some of it will get through.
Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate you taking your time to talk to me this morning.
I'm happy to do so, Veronica. It's such an important topic. I'm glad you raised the issue. And just as a parting gift, I've written a number of articles, one in particular on Mary. It's called Mary, Ark of the New Covenant. And then another article is called Any Friend of God's is a Friend of Mine. And both of these articles combined will give you a comprehensive biblical way to respond to the kind of arguments that he's raising. So I'll make those available to you the show Twitter feed will have a link to that. You can also go to relevantradio.com/Patrick and you can see them there in the embedded Twitter feed. And I'll do the same thing with mine. I'd encourage you to print them out, have your Bible open, go through your Bible, mark up the passages that I bring to your attention there, and maybe even print out the articles or text them, the link to them anyway, to your brother-in-law. It'll give him some food for thought. And I would love it if he called me. We'll have a good conversation. Thank you.
For more of the Patrick Madrid Show, visit relevantradio.com.